Participants in this multi-year experimenting on commodities and development. My name is Luis Janeiro and I work at IVINA's Innovation and Technology Center in Bonn, in Germany. First, let me start by thanking our colleagues at UN Trade and Development for their kind invitation to IVINA to this session on commodity market trends and prospects related to energy products. Now, if we are to meet the goals of the Paris Agreement, limiting the rise of global temperatures to 1.5 degrees, we need to decarbonize all sectors of the economy by 2050. And this is a great challenge that will require profound changes in the way global energy systems operate. And this transition will have deep implications for trade, not only of fuels, but also of key energy-intensive commodities. In a recent report that we produced in support of Italy's G7 presidency, we explored the role that the renewable technologies can play to decarbonize five so-called hard-to-abate sectors, which account for roughly a quarter of the world's energy consumption and are responsible for around a fifth of total global CO2 emissions. These sectors are iron and steel, chemicals, international shipping and aviation, and heavy road transport. The report is titled Decarbonizing Hard-to-Abate Sectors with Renewables, Perspectives for the G7, and in it we look at the technological pathways available as well as what are the enabling conditions that need to be put in place to achieve such goal. We review recent developments in technology, policies, markets, to understand to what extent these solutions are being adopted. We also provide recommendations for the G7 members to accelerate the transition in these hard-to-abate sectors. Now, please let me share some of the key findings of the report for policymakers and other stakeholders to consider. First, starting with encouraging news, and this is that the technologies to decarbonize hard-to-abate sectors have seen very significant progress in recent years and are largely available today. We see this, for instance, with battery improvements that make electric trucks technically possible today, even for the most demanding heavy and long-haul applications. We have also seen progress in recent years in technologies to produce industrial commodities. For instance, hydrogen-based steel has been proven at pre-commercial scale, and the first commercial scale plants are being built. In the chemical sector, the electric alternative to the traditional steam cracker process to produce high-value chemicals is also being tested at pre-commercial scale. So, technological innovation is narrowing down the scope of what has been traditionally understood as hard-to-abate sectors. Secondly, we find that renewables can play a central role in the decarbonization of all hard-to-abate sectors. A key reason for this is the deep cost reductions that we have seen in renewable power technologies. Renewables are already the cheapest option to produce carbon-neutral energy in many markets around the world and still have significant potential for further cost reductions. Hard-to-abate sectors can be decarbonized with renewables using several solutions, including direct use of renewable electricity, the use of bio-based fuels and feedstocks, and the so-called indirect electrification, that is the production of synthetic fuels using renewable hydrogen and sustainable carbon sources. We think that direct electrification using renewable power will play a major role across all sectors. Bioenergy will be critical for shipping and aviation fuels, as well as in the chemical sector. And indirect electrification via the production of renewable hydrogen is also set to play a significant role, for instance, in the production of steel and as a feedstock for key chemicals like ammonia. And thirdly, also on the positive side, we see unprecedented social and political momentum, which is resulting in increasing action from all the stakeholders. On the policy side, we have seen developments like Inflation Reduction Act in the United States or the Net Zero Industry Act in the European Union. We also see collaborative initiatives like the Industrial Deep Decarbonization Initiative of UNIDO and SEM, or the Alliance for Industry Decarbonization with more than 60 private sector members, which is facilitated by IVINA. We also see private-led initiatives such as Mission Possible Partnership, which addresses several sectors, or the Getting to Zero Coalition with a focus on shipping. So a lot of positives. Now, it is important to recognize that even when technology is increasingly available, in the absence of a sufficient carbon price, these solutions will almost certainly require paying as a premium over the cost of fossil-based systems. The cost gap is different depending on the sector and the application. For instance, battery electric trucks have a feasible pathway to reach cost parity and even to become cheaper to operate than combustion trucks in the medium term. On the other hand, biofuels and biofeedstocks will likely continue to come at moderate cost premiums, and synthetic fuels and feedstocks will likely result in higher cost premiums for the foreseeable future. Another important fact to recognize is that we are at the very early stages of the decarbonization of these five sectors, and none of them is today on a trajectory compatible with reaching zero emissions by mid-century. The production volumes of green industrial commodities such as green steel and key chemicals like ammonia, methanol, or olefins are still negligible. Also, sustainable fuels for aviation and shipping represent a negligible fraction of the global fuel consumption in these sectors. The adoption of battery electric heavy trucks, while it's growing very fast, also represents a small fraction between 1% and 2% of the global vehicle sales today. So if we are to steer these sectors to be on track to net zero by mid-century, progress needs to accelerate, and this will require decisive action by governments as well as the private sector. We provide the G7 with 11 recommendations along 5 areas of action to achieve this. I will not go into all of them in detail because of time, but please let me touch on some of the key ones. First and foremost, we need a policy environment that enables the massive investments in technology and infrastructure that are going to be required over the next 2 decades. Project developers and investors need to have sufficiently clear, stable, and credible signals of decarbonization targets and sufficient economic incentives to reach final investment decisions. Secondly, we need to fast-track infrastructure deployment and technology adoption. Hard-to-abate sectors will need a massive scale-up in power generation capacity, either for direct electrification or to produce synthetic fuels and commodities for renewable hydrogen. Last year, we reached a record 473 gigawatts of renewable power capacity installed in 2023. But to get on track to a 1.5 scenario, this rate of deployment needs to roughly double to more than 1,000 gigawatts per year. Scaling bioenergy supply is also critical to produce biofuels for shipping and aviation and to provide a sustainable source of carbon for chemicals. And a timely planning of infrastructure deployment will be key. And this applies to power grids, which will become the backbone of global energy systems, but also for hydrogen networks and sustainable fuel terminals in ports and in airports. Thirdly, we need to drive the creation of markets for these green commodities, like green steel, green chemicals, or transport fuels, to be able to finance the transition. The private sector can kickstart these markets with voluntary schemes that leverage the willingness of some consumers to pay a premium. However, these voluntary markets have limited scalability, so the public sector can support the creation of demand at a larger scale and to establish the necessary regulations to make these markets operate properly. And finally, we need to leverage the power of international cooperation because the decarbonization of hard-to-abate sectors is a multilateral challenge. Industrial commodities like steel, chemicals, and fuels for shipping and aviation are internationally traded, and the supply chains for the technologies that hold the key to reducing emissions in those sectors are also international. Also important to consider that the emergence of cheap renewables will change the global footprint of some of these industries. Those regions with cheap and abundant renewable energy resources may be in the best position to produce the lowest cost, low carbon commodities. And this creates an opportunity for international cooperation to reduce the cost of the transition in these sectors globally. Commodity exporters with low cost renewables will be able to capture more value in the supply chain by exporting processed products rather than raw materials. And importing countries, on the other hand, can reduce the overall cost of the transition while retaining downstream high added value processes within their borders. So multilateral cooperation will be critical if the world is to accelerate the transition in key commodity sectors, bringing them closer to net zero emissions by 2050. And for this reason, we very much support the work that the UN Trade and Development is undertaking, organizing conferences like this one. So this is it from our side today. Thank you very much again for the kind invitation to Agrina. Wishing you all a great event. Thank you.